Good evening, my friends. So here we are again, continuing to look deeply into the Torah's verses. Verses that speak about subjects that seem oh so distant from the life that we live. Tzaras, this paranormal situation of what is mistranslated as leprosy, miraculous lesions that have nothing to do with any kind of contagion. So familiar, yet so strange and different. So familiar because we hear the terminology quarantine, social distancing, or social isolation, to be more accurate. We should not be isolated from each other, as we talked about yesterday. But the Metzora should be isolated. So the verbiage that people are using today fits beautifully with the Metzora. We talk about contagion. We talk about the seeming notion of impurity that might pass to somebody else inadvertently. And Metzora has to take efforts, well, to protect others by better covering himself. So familiar, yet so different, because we speak in our time of physical illness and of biology, whereas the Torah is talking about spiritual impurity and the nature of the soul as it is invested in a body. It's a bodily symbol of things happening in the inner consciousness. And yet, it is our parsha. It is our parsha, and we are conjoined, or enjoined, I should say, by God, together, to look deeply into its verses and to understand how it may speak to us today. And so, let me attempt once again to try to study with you verses of our timeless Torah, speaking about something which we have not known in more than two millennia. Maybe after all, it does speak to us. Maybe it can indeed uplift and inspire us in today's day and age. You be the judge. As mentioned numerous times during the course of our virtual get-togethers and our sharing of Torah, this week we double up. It's actually Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh, and we can talk about that perhaps on a different occasion. And there are two parshiot this week. There are two separate parshiot. There are many years in which Parshat Tazria is read independently and studied in a different week of Parshat Metzora. But this year, today, on the fourth day of the week, we seamlessly flow from the Parsha of Tazria, in which we read of the ritual impurity engendered through clothing that becomes infected. Not entirely different than the kind of things we talk about today. But of course, entirely different, because we talk about spiritual contagion and spiritual ritual impurity. Clothing that has to be destroyed so that nobody else is harmed, and the clothing that can be purified, cleansed, and brought back into circulation. And with this, we flow directly into Parshas Metzora, which opens with God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, telling him, Zot tihyeh Torat HaMetzora. This will be the Torah, which means this will be the law regarding the procedure that will be followed, the things that are involved in the rehabilitation, in the spiritual reinstatement of the would-be Metzora, the things that the Metzora would have done in order to rid himself of his defilement. So he or she has behaved sinfully, been the cause of strife and division amongst people, and now has been socially isolated, taken out of circulation, spent a good deal of time on their own, contemplating their plight, and tasting the bitter pill of being separated from others. And they've performed tshuva. They've experienced a change of heart. They've made the decision. No longer will they follow those errant ways. And as such, the superficial symptoms began to fade as well. And so it's time for the Metzora to be welcomed back into the community. But there's a procedure, a process, a very detailed process that involves a stick from a cedar branch and a crimson thread, two live birds, an earthenware jug, and special water that has to be drawn, but we won't get into that today. I just want to focus on the opening verse of this week's Torah portion that goes on to say, and I quote, "V'huva el ha-kohen," which means he will or he must be brought to the Kohen, who is the proverbial priest, the descendant of Aaron, who is involved in re-embracing people and bringing sinners home. So v'huva, he must be brought. After all, this is the same Kohen who examined him. This is the same Kohen who, with great sensitivity, was able to advise this person that unfortunately they were indeed stricken with tzaras, and now he'll be brought back to that Kohen. Now the very next verse says, V'yotza ha-Kohen. The Kohen will go outside the camp. Why would the Kohen go outside the camp? Well, because that's where the afflicted person has been. After all, he's been banished from the proverbial camp, which is, it's a euphemism. It means the city. Oftentimes in antiquity, cities were walled. Residents had to be protected from marauding bands of robbers. Who else knows who could have been entering this town? And so in order for them to sleep peacefully, there were protective walls and gates that closed at nightfall. And this would enable the people in the city to be safe and secure. There were sentries oftentimes and law enforcement, but outside the city wasn't really a good place to find yourself. Didn't feel good to be outside the scrimmage of the city. And this Mitzorah has been outside. Now, by and large, there would be no attacks because these bands of robbers knew they wouldn't find anybody outside. All they could find was a lonely Mitzorah, and he wouldn't have his money with him. So the city was safe, the person was safe, but they were deeply uncomfortable. Now, the Kohen's going to go out to this person. He's going to bring this person back into society. And our commentaries note that there seems to be an apparent contradiction. First, the verse says, V'huva el ha-Kohen. You're bringing him to the Kohen. The next verse says, V'yotza ha-Kohen. The Kohen goes out. Well, which one is it? Are you bringing the person to the Kohen? Or is the Kohen coming out? If you look into the commentaries, like, for example, Sepharno, he says, V'huva means el makom karov chutz lamachane. You bring the Mitzorah close to the edge of the city. Sheyuchel ha-kohen b'chavot, so that the Kohen does not have to, well, displace himself in a dishonorable way. The Kohen just walks outside the city, and the Mitzorah is waiting for him. And it doesn't take a great deal of toil or effort. The Chizkuni says same. And we find the interesting conversation, or I should say commentary, in the Kur HaZohav, which is a later codicil or commentary on the Ramban and Nachmanides, who speaks about this notion of meet me halfway. The Mitzorah comes, the Kohen comes, and they meet. The problem with all this is that why would the Mitzorah be any further than he or she had to be? It was bad enough they had to be outside the city. You know, there's an expression, don't be more frum, don't be more observant than the code of Jewish law, than the Shulchan Aruch. Why do more than you have to? It doesn't say you had to be in a distant place. It said you had to be outside the city. In all likelihood, they were right outside. If they were right outside to begin with, why emphasize this v'huva? And the Rebbe points out further, besides that apparent difficulty with these commentaries, an even larger difficulty is the verbiage here. V'huva, he'll be brought. Who will bring the Mitzorah? Who knows? He doesn't have a smartphone. He couldn't call his friend and say, well, do me a favor, can you accompany me? Or come bring me. First of all, even if he had a smartphone, he'd say, get up and come yourself. Secondly, who is this v'huva person? This unnamed participant. We have this phantom of the opera who shows up. Nobody knows who he is. He's not really identified, but he or she serves as the v'huva, the invisible force that propels the Kohen, that propels the Mitzorah to the Kohen. It should have said perhaps uva el ha-Kohen if it was the Mitzorah's responsibility to show up. And instead of expecting the Kohen to come out to him, but to meet the Kohen halfway, as the Kur HaZov suggests, or as Sepharno and Chizkuni emphasize, that there should be this lesser effort on behalf of the Kohen that should be available for him. It should say uva. Let the Mitzorah know he should come as close as he must. Who is the v'huva? And the Rebbe said that there is a wonderful way to look at this. If we see it through the prism and lens of esoteric, mystical, and spiritual teaching, Teiris HaChassidus, the Rebbe said this. He said the Mitzora, although on a technical level, speaks about a person who engaged in gossip and slander and even heresy, and as such has now suffered the consequences, the Mitzora in a larger sense becomes a paradigm, a proverbial poster boy for the worst of sinners. After all, the Mitzora's being disgorged from the camp, being expelled from the city, from the residences of everybody else, represents extraordinary level of disconnect, spiritual disconnect. And as the Alter Rebbe puts it in his magnum opus of Maimorim, in his Likutei Torah, in Parshas Matos, he says that this is a sinner who is outside the orbit in the scrimmage of holiness. He says the city represents holiness. It represents civilization. It represents people behaving humanely. People who are actualizing their potential as being Adam Ele Elyon, in the image of Almighty God Himself. That's what the city, that's what civilization represents. And this person, this sinner, he's been pushed, expelled, sent away, locked out of the orbit of holiness. So the Mitzora then, if we see him not merely as the specific actor who has a skin discoloration or hair that's fallen out, but if we see in the Mitzora the essence of all that can go awry, everything that can go wrong with a person who falls down the slippery slope of sin and inappropriateness. And this Mitzora has to be brought home. Because, my friends, everybody has to come home. And everybody always can come home. You know, the Alter Rebbe, in one of his earliest manuscripts that was published, known as Hilchas Talmud Torah, in the fourth chapter, he states, and this is also brought in Tanya, and I'll say it in its Hebrew and then translate, Sofo shekol echad mi Yisrael la'asot teshuva. Everyone, every member of Am Yisrael will return. Yeah, that person who has such anger and animosity for Torah and for mitzvahs, he'll return too. He'll come home, you know. An elder colleague of mine once said to me, I was bitterly complaining about the acrimony, even the hatred that was directed towards me from a certain group of people who had strayed very far from the path of authentic Torah Judaism. And he said to me with a smile, he said, you know, Rabbi Akiva hated the sages too. Then he went on to become Rabbi Akiva. Their anger is a good sign, actually. It means they care. So everybody's coming home. But the question is, how? And Hashem says, that's not your worry or business always. Sometimes you're not going to be able to knock at the door, send a text message and get a response. Sometimes there'll be an invisible force, a phantom of the opera indeed. That's the hand of Hashem that will propel this person, as they say, by hook or by crook. One way or another, Hashem has to bring His children home. But what you and I must know is that when somebody knocks on the door, the next verse is V'yatza HaKohen. When somebody knocks, when somebody finally musters the courage to reach out, propelled by, it would be an invisible force, a divine kind of event that maybe pushes them in that direction. V'yatza. You need to transcend your comfort zone. You need to be ready and willing to welcome that long-lost brother or sister home. And this is really the story of Yiddishkeit. So yes, it's a parsha that talks about a mitzvah. It's a parsha that talks about purification process. But really, my friends, it's a parsha. It's a pasuk. It's a Torah teaching that is describing the essence of Judaism and really of our generation. I don't think any of us can think we study Torah better than generations in the past. I don't believe that we can pray with greater fervor or passion. I don't know that our mitzvahs are performed with greater devotion or in a more assiduous fashion. But I do know this. I do know that the wave of return that we have seen in our time is probably unprecedented in Jewish history. I do know that the Rebbe spoke about this 70 years ago, before anybody else could see the changes that were coming and the seismic movement that would shake up the entire Jewish people. And people are coming home. When the knock comes, open the door. You know, we're living in a strange time. All the things that people have gotten used to aren't anymore. And in the midst of this shakeup, there are a lot of people who are questioning their routine, questioning their value system. They may not physically knock on your door. They may not even say to you, "Teach me Torah," but if you listen, you will hear there is a movement afoot. Engage. Why do you think God gave us all this technology, if not to teach Torah, if not to bring our family together, if not to reunite all of us and bring us home? This is a very difficult time, and I don't want to downplay that for a moment. I don't forget for a single moment the terrible suffering and the tragedies. But at the same time, we have to find a way to utilize every situation to bring us into a better state, to engage somehow positively. And perhaps if we will utilize this opportunity in its fullest sense, and we will bring yet another yid home, and maybe finally that cup will fill. Maybe finally this far too long galut will come to an end, and we will all be reunited, and we will all be brought v'huva el ha-kohen, to the great kohen, in the third Beit HaMikdash, with the coming of Mashiach, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, amen. Thank you.